It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, it's our special year-end show, 2015. Looking back, looking ahead, as we look back at the significant events that have shaped our lives in the past year. And in this segment, we're reviewing what happened in the city of Pittsburgh and Allegheny County with Chris Potter, who is a reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us in studio. Chris, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Let's start with year two of Mayor Peduto's administration. The mayor has certainly been hard at work on issues impacting the city of Pittsburgh, but he's been globally minded.
Yes.
Looking not only at climate issues, traveling to France to talk about what he, as the mayor of a large American city, can do to decrease global warming and the emission of greenhouse gases, but also he has weighed in on the refugee crisis,
right, which
has been a big story around the world. And here in the United States, President Obama has talked about taking in some 10,000 refugees from the Middle East, and particularly Syria. The mayor says he would take in, say, about 500. And he's gotten a lot of heat for that. Describe the backlash that he's received for making his statement and expressing his willingness to take in refugees.
Right. I mean, it's interesting. I actually was in the presence of the mayor on the day when there were news stories about increased security around his house and for himself personally because of the blowback from that. The sense that I had was that these were not any kind of specific threat or whatever, but there was a level of rhetoric coming online and electronically that they decided to take some precautions there, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think it's important to point out, and I believe the mayor himself said this on your show earlier this month, that the mayor isn't in a position any more than a governor of a state is in a position to say, yes, we shall take these refugees, or no, we don't want these refugees. These are decisions made by the federal government as part of its program. But what the mayor has said is, I'm really interested in building capacity so we have the ability to take these folks, and I want to welcome them that way. So, you know, in this day and age, in this climate, especially after the San Bernardino shooting, not an easy position to take, and that one that he's put himself out there on, I think, to a lot of people say to his credit. So he has taken some heat. The sense that I've gotten talking from city officials is a lot of the heat that he's getting isn't coming from his constituents. That a certain percentage of it is coming from outside the city and maybe even outside the region as well. So, but that has certainly been a high profile position that he's taken.
Well, he took the position before
yes, the
Paris attacks
yes, on
November 13th and
yeah, before
San Bernardino
yeah, earlier
this month. So, he could have maybe backed away from that.
Yeah.
That could have given him an out, but he did not
That's right, take
that. He said, I'm committed to this. So does the mayor, is he earning some points for that stance, maybe not only from his constituents, but maybe from the Muslim community here in Pittsburgh?
You know, I would assume so. I haven't spoken to the Muslim center here in Oakland about this particular issue, but I think it would very naturally follow that. Yeah, you know, I mean that the fact that he has said this is who we are, this is who I want this city to be, and what I want this city to be in the 21st century, and the fact that he has not allowed a terrorist attack to dictate his response, the way it has for a lot of other people, I think, is certainly going to be perceived as a strong statement on his behalf, on his part.
The mayor has, since he took office, made a point of traveling to other cities to
yep, look
at infrastructure, to look at how they implement bike lanes, gone to Europe to do that. He is also someone who is very much interested in renewable energy and green energy solutions to some of the environmental problems that we have, so much so that there was the 4P conference, which does anybody remember that at this point with everything else that's happened since?
Right.
But last yeah, spring, he had that here in Pittsburgh. And then also showing that he has this, how committed he is to this, he traveled all the way to Paris for the climate talks. And I'm wondering about your take on this, Chris, as an observer of politics and of the mayor, the fact that he has done this. You know, what kind of impression has it left people with of who he is?
Well, I mean, I've certainly heard some concerns voiced that this guy seems to travel quite a bit. I mean, I think it's no surprise that some people would have that reaction. I don't get the sense that it's stuck to him much. And part of that maybe because just the previous administration, there was always these sort of, you know, where's Luke kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That was sort of a riff, at least in portions of the blogosphere and so on and so forth. I don't get the sense that anybody feels terribly like, oh God, there was some huge crisis in the city of Pittsburgh and nobody knew where to find Bill Peduto on that day because he was traipsing about the globe. So, I mean, I think this is a mayor who has done quite a bit to espouse the cause of Pittsburgh globally and to espouse global causes like climate change or refugees here in Pittsburgh. I think that's pretty consistent with who he's been. I will say one of the challenges for the mayor going forward here just became obvious today as we're recording this here on the 22nd, which is Judge Joseph James, county judge here in Allegheny County, basically said that has said in the past several days that this two city pieces of legislation that passed this year, one regarding the training requirements for security guards, and the other, and this just happened today, a sort of paid sick leave bill that was going to require employers to offer paid sick leave to their employees, that the city does not have the authority to enforce that legislation, that basically state law doesn't give the city the ability to tell private employers what to do, and so the city can't. And these are two fairly important pieces of legislation to the mayor and to the coalition that has supported him. And the judge has said, and this was not a surprising ruling if you're familiar with the precedents, the judge has said, you can't do this. It's not clear whether the city will appeal those, but I think it does sort of speak to a certain tension between Mayor Peduto's sort of global vision and the ability sometimes of a local official running a municipality, even the second largest in Pennsylvania, to get done some of the things that he'd really like to do and to advance this progressive agenda in the face of opposition from a state legislature, especially that's hostile to it.
One follow-up question that I would have is that do you think that the fact that people haven't had, you know, an issue with the mayor traveling to Europe multiple times, is it partly because A, they trust him, and B, that he gives them a reason? He's given us as citizens of Pittsburgh a reason to trust him because he's been very transparent in terms of, you know, putting out a daily agenda where he's going to be. If he's going to be on Essential Pittsburgh, it's on that schedule.
Right.
He lets people know when he's in the office, when he's working from home, all that kind of thing. I mean, does that leave Pittsburghs with a feeling that, you know, we know where he is, we know where to find him, we're not worried?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I think it also helps, too, that very often when he takes these trips, the bill is being footed by some other organization or entity, a sponsoring organization holding these things.
And that's important, and he makes an effort to point it out, and I'm glad you pointed it out.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. And yeah, I mean, I think I don't think people have necessarily a problem with thinking, we've got a mayor now who is out there building the Pittsburgh brand or whatever, trying to sort of make the case for this city. To some extent, that may be a function of the fact that for a very long period of time, Pittsburghers didn't have a great sense of their city's standing or reputation in the world. There were many years where, you know, there's a sort of sense of a sort of self-esteem problem on the city's part.
So I remember that growing up here.
Yeah, so to see a mayor out there sort of, you know, going toe-to-toe on the global stage, you know, I mean, it's probably part and parcel of a sense that we're getting past that point now. So I think that's part of it, too, is just that he's out there sort of espousing the cause for a city that a lot of people weren't necessarily willing to take up as a cause for many years.
And to the extent that he is willing to push the envelope on issues that may not be in his power to decide legally, one of his big initiatives this year was to say, I want to have a $15 an hour minimum wage in the city of Pittsburgh. And I guess he can say that for the city employees, that they will be paid a minimum of $15 an hour. That could be a very significant thing. And do you see that going through?
Yeah, I mean, I think the city does have the ability to set terms for, of course, its own employees. It has, as far as I can recall, the ability to set terms for the people it contracts with. You can do all kinds of things. You can require various rates of minority participation in contracts and things like that. Where the city, the leash has sort of been jerked back in the past few days is this is when the city has tried to legislate and to mandate stuff for people who are purely in the private sector. They're not getting, these are not folks getting, you know, tax incentives to do development. They're not necessarily getting city contracts or whatever. These are just businesses, restaurants, other businesses that happen to be in the city of Pittsburgh. And there the question has really been, you know, what a power does the city have to enforce this? I'll say, too, I mean, that, you know, the mayor could also make the case, as others have, that part of why this is happening is because of frustration at the state level. And we see this in a variety of contexts. The city just decriminalized marijuana possession of small amounts, or lost and stolen gun ordinances. The ability for a city to do some of this stuff is questionable. But advocates will tell you part of what we're doing is we're trying to get municipalities on the record to say this is important to our residents, in hopes that even if it doesn't pass muster at the court level, it does send a message up the chain to Harrisburg and say this is something that's important and you are not paying attention to it.
And you have just transitioned for us into city council issues, which we'll get to here in a moment. Again, you're listening to an Essential Pittsburgh Special 2015, Looking Back, Looking Ahead. And in this segment, we're talking about the big events and stories that occurred in the city of Pittsburgh in 2015, or as many as we can get to in the time that we have, with Chris Potter, reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Chris, or you mentioned the decriminalization of small amounts of marijuana by the city council, which has passed. The city council also issued legislation to require employers to pay their employees when they're sick. Is that something that can remain in place?
Yeah, that would be the very decision that was just, the very ordinance that was just struck down by Judge James yesterday. The city has said, we're looking at the ruling. We may or may not appeal it. There's an expectation among some folks that I've heard who are supportive of this bill. They do think the city will likely appeal that bill. But it's very much, you know, you look at the lower court level, and this is a county judge, and the county judge has in his hand a 2009 Supreme Court decision argued along very similar terms that says the city doesn't have the power to do this. So it's maybe not such a surprise that this ruling got handed down. And if there's going to be change, it's probably going to have to come from the state Supreme Court, which, of course, is newly it will have some new members on it by the time it percolates up to that level.
And speaking of the state Supreme Court and the new members, you covered that race. There were three seats open on the state Supreme Court. The three candidates that showed up at the forum in Homewood all ended up winning. Tell us about them and why they won.
Yeah, I'm dropping segues for you. going out of style, man.
This is easy.
I mean, this is a fascinating race. You know, ordinarily going into this, this is the kind of statewide race that Republicans ordinarily do very well in. It's an off-year election. It doesn't generate a lot of interest. Usually that kind of race benefits Republicans. And in this case, Democrats just swept. Not just at the state Supreme Court level, although that got most of the attention, but also there was a race at the Superior Court and the Commonwealth Court level, also statewide appeals court contest there. So, yeah, I mean, the Democrats did very well. You'll find a lot of different explanations for that. The folks on the GOP side will say they just had so much money coming in. They had all this money from the trial lawyers and from the unions. And there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of the vast majority of money did come on the Democratic side, and trial lawyers, especially in the Philadelphia area, and unions also, especially in the Philadelphia lawyer area, were big spenders there. That's in part because one of the three Democrats, Kevin Dougherty, is a Philadelphia judge whose brother is a very prominent union official out there, and that union in particular spent a lot of money. But you've also got to look. I mean, you know, it's you can't just lay it at the feet of the Democrats. They in terms of the money. I mean, the Republicans just did not ever seem to get energized by this race, and it's sort of a running mystery and a subject of some controversy in statewide Republican circles. Why the party apparatus, why the business community, just never really seemed to realize what was at stake here, or at least to act on it, because we are talking now about a really what will probably be a generational shift. In this court, it is now a Democratic leaning court. And it wouldn't be surprising if that's reflected in decisions about whether a city has the ability to pass a paid sick leave policy or any of these other cases that are likely to come.
That we're more likely to see judges decide, Democratic judges deciding in the favor of the cities.
Yeah. Well, yes, yeah, certainly. It's always dangerous because these were all very good judges. I should say that as well.
In addition to Kevin Dougherty, tell us about the other two.
So the other
one of them from right here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, both of them. David Wecht, son of course of the legendary cantankerous former coroner Cyril Wecht,
played by Albert Brooks in the movie Concussion.
Yes, that's right. I'm looking forward to seeing that actually. And Christine Donahue, both Superior Court justices, both from Allegheny County. All three Democrats are winning. So. One thing we got to be careful because you never want to say a judge is going to rule a certain way because judges will surprise you and sometimes break your heart. Ask any Republican. But it's generally the pattern that Democratic judges tend to rule more liberally, especially in questions of sort of what role government has in economic and other issues. They're very willing to come down on the side of government taking an active part in ensuring worker rights in cases in situations like this. So I think that'll be definitely something to watch.
Well, it has certainly been an interesting year on the political scene in Pittsburgh, and there would be plenty of other things to talk about, but unfortunately we've come to time for the segment. But I want to thank you for being here and for your appearances on the program throughout the year. Chris Potter, reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, thank you so much and Happy New Year to you.
And to you as well and to all your listeners.
Coming up, we will talk with a couple of people who cover state and regional issues, John Micek of the Patriot News and Penn Live, and Mary Wilson, our Capitol correspondent right here on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh 2015. Looking back, looking ahead. A special program will continue after this break on 90.5 WESA.